And it worked the first time.
Yeah!
All right.
Yes! Yes! It is!
Yes!
It is!
Oh, my God. Boys. Wow.
Goddamn Al Gore, coming to you live from a series of tubes via the internet. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. I thought I was out of, I don't know. I have not fully recovered from San Diego Comic-Con, clearly.
We are some crispy boys, and I didn't even go to San Diego, so get yourselves ready for one hell of a spicy episode.
Before we kick things off, I want to say thank you to the Nerds of Color. We are on the Nerds of Color, the Hard Knock Media Podcast Network.
Yes.
And you can go to hardknockmedia.com. That's N-O-C, nerdsofcolor.com, to check out all the other podcasts that are on the network. Brandon Chalmers.
Sir.
If the stars align and the gods will it so, next week we are partnering with not only the Nerds of Color, but with New Release Wednesday, which is another podcast on the network, to present Hobbs and Shaw, A Fast and Furious Experience.
Wait. When is this happening?
It's next week.
When is the movie released? Because the movie release isn't next week, is it?
It is next week.
Fuck!
It snuck up on my ass.
Okay, wait. So what day are we actually talking about doing this?
Probably Thursday.
Thursday?
Yes.
Thursday where?
Thursday at the Alamo.
The Alamo where?
In Virginia.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So you might need to PTO or...
All right.
Or go in real early.
We're going to Virginia.
Just meet me here and we'll go down. It'll be fine.
The Muppets take Virginia. Dude, there is no way I'm going to drive to Rockville to then drive to Virginia. I'm going straight to Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Please know this.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no middle ground here. Like, I am a laser-focused rocket to Virginia. Please know this. Okay.
So if,
wow.
If the stars... It snuck up on me as well. I thought we would right. have
I
like.
I thought it was next week.
It is next week.
No. I mean like next week. Next week.
Oh, the week after. Yeah.
Yeah, the week after. Yeah. This is what I get for trusting a certain someone on timelines, because that's where my thought. You know what? It's fine. Everything's a-okay. Just this was supposed to be bookended around somebody's birthday, and now I think I understood what was going on, but fuck it, I'm not celebrating that birthday anymore. So, cool. The important part is, if anyone's following along at home, anyway.
It's going to be a crispy episode today.
I was not kidding. The crispiest of episodes.
So it's good because, yeah, it's good. So if things work out, we're going to find out Monday afternoon if it's going to go. If it's going to go at this particular spot, if it doesn't work out at this particular spot, we're still going to arrange something. I'm still going to bring toys and stuff.
Cool, something in Rockville.
Yeah. So if it doesn't work out with the Alamo, we're still going to – I'm still printing out the posters. I'm still working on it right now.
Okay, cool.
But it's going to happen. We're going to do a thing.
Nice.
It's going to be a thing.
Nice.
Yeah, so look out for that. Right. Other stuff, other updates. I don't think I have any other updates.
Cool.
Brandon.
Yeah.
How have you been since I last saw you?
Crispy, sir. I broke my toe. There was that.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What?
Helping a friend move in and Nicole Roberts from the previous episode.
Okay.
Congratulations, she got a new home.
Nice.
Good for her.
Yes.
Super rad.
Yes.
Helping them move in and turned a corner, had a box in my hand. I bumped into the corner. I stopped. My foot continued to drag across the floor and broke the little like, see, you got your knuckle here, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you got that little tip right there.
Yeah.
So I just took the top right off that bad boy. Just knocked it right off there. But the problem is that I didn't take it off like going back this way or anything like that. I went this way and just kind of popped that bad boy right off there.
Oh, shit.
So the cool part is that when I got the x-ray, because after the first day, this was Sunday, happened around, I don't know, 1-ish or something like that. So I continued to help them move and didn't get home until about 1:30 in the morning. So when I got up the next morning, it was purple back at the knuckle, like at the base of my toe.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little tender. So, so I decided to go to patient first, and I'm like, if it's really broken, I'm going to need to go to like an orthopedic and they're going to have to do surgery. They're going to have to like put a screw in it or something. Like it's going to be bad. Or like it's death or glory. It's like either this is nothing because it's a toe and there's nothing really you can do about toes.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Right. So I go and I talk to them and they get the x-ray and they're like, so good news, bad news. And it's like, okay. And they're like, bad news is, your toe is broken. And I was like, yeah, I kind of did that math. And they're like, good news if there is any? I said, yeah. And they're like, we don't think it requires surgery, and we can't tell when you broke this. So it turns out that I am such a caveman that I broke this at some point along the way, never addressed it. It just kind of healed up and then managed to do this again. Yeah, like – You do something dumb and then you tell yourself like, hey, don't do that. That's hot. It's every time you microwave a Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
You microwave that Hot Pocket and immediately you're like, man, am I hungry? And then put it in your mouth. And then you're like, God, it tastes like burning. And then you go and do this over again.
God, it tastes like burning.
Right. Like, and then the next time you're like, Jesus Christ, one, I need to make better life choices and not buy Hot Pockets, but you're already here, so they're available at your grocery freezer.
So
I guess
good.
I'll just have to buy them.
They're so good.
And you microwave it again, and then you're like, I'm smarter about this. So you pull it out of that little loving sheath thing or whatever it is, and you go like a fucking hero and just come straight down with a knife, right down the middle, make sure that thing's good and cooked. Right. And then immediately you're like, fuck yeah, pizza anytime. And then dig in, and you're like, Jesus Christ, it tastes like burning. And then take another bite as if somehow you're like, well, I didn't manage the first one because you got that little cheese dribble, and you're like, this fucking burns.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
You're gonna come back around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
shit.
Yeah. So it turns out that's my toe.
Fuck,
so,
dude.
So there's that.
A hot pocket of pain.
Yes. Yeah. Pain pockets.
Pain
is
pocket.
Really what we're selling today.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that was a bit of my week. So to recap, I broke my toe. Work's been kind of interesting. I had off yesterday, which is nice. I didn't do a whole lot of much.
Nice.
And, yeah, I was reminded how terrible the drive into D.C. was today because I did a favor for somebody and drove them into D.C. for Otakon.
Ooh.
And had a 2-hour commute home. Yay.
Why didn't you just drop them off at, like, Shady Grove and tell them to fuck off and get on the metro?
Plus, they had a lot of shit with them, and that's not what I do. This is not who I am. You know this. This is – yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. So wishing the – I know they're already actively doing it at the moment. I know what the results were for the first match. I haven't heard about the rest of them, but best of luck to the rest of the Super Art Fight crew. So,
oh, that's right. That's the thing that's going on.
Yep. So good for them. That's all good. So that's been kind of my week, is coming up with lists of things. Bought a pressure washer. Going to end up doing that.
Fun.
Painting the bedroom. So
nice.
If you want to follow along with my dumb adventures this weekend, I'm going to try and somehow tackle all of the house projects in like a 24-hour period. And because I got home and I was so cranky, I took a nap. So I woke up at about 8:30 or so tonight. Like right now we're recording, it's 9 p.m. So I've been up for half an hour.
Nice.
I'm already pounding an energy drink and bourbon. So who knows what I'm going to get done tonight. But I'm crispy. I know that much. And I've got an appointment at 8 a.m. in Westminster tomorrow morning. So,
damn.
Yeah. Oh, man. We are going to spin the roulette wheel of destruction is what's going to happen today.
Wow. Yeah. Wowie, yep.
Turns out you can wrench your knee just sitting in a car for 2 hours. So my knees hurt right now.
Jesus
Christ. Don't get old, Jamie. This is how it happens.
I'm older than you.
Use bourbon to settle yourself down and use Icy Hot on a knee that didn't actually go anywhere.
Fuck, dude.
Is how hard am I on myself? I'm 35.
You should have come out with us, man.
Man, yeah, we'll get into that after the podcast is over, because, man, are you not wrong about that, because I have boy. Oh, anyway.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Well, all right. Good talk there.
More to come.
Yes, there is. that's the after hours show. The fucking did it cast.
That's when we have a Patreon, and it's like the after hours cast where we get real.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little like Chris Hardwick in only the legal kind of ways. The show after the show. Yeah.
God damn it. Wow. Yep. Okay.
Anyway, so Jamie Noguchi. Jesus, how I managed to tear up 5 minutes of that. was I kidding? Crispy as fuck. How the fuck are you? How are you?
I'm okay. My feet are finally recovered from Comic-Con. So I was at Comic-Con last week for most of the week. I think we did a Comic-Con recap last year. Did we have the podcast last year?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because one of my favorite episodes that we did would be the one like 2 weeks after that, when I was actually on vacation and we did the Battlefield Earth one.
Oh, right.
So we have been doing this for quite some time.
Nice. That's awesome. That feels good. So I'm not going to do a Comic-Con recap this year because, unlike last year, this year I was selling stuff with Draw Right Now. So I was at the table the entire time. And
good, cool.
Yeah. And you know, when it's work time, when it's time to sell, we're on. And that's,
yes,
that's all you do. Like,
good.
You take a break to take a piss, take a break to take a shit, you take a break to get some tacos, but you're working. And then after that, then shit happens and you do all the parties and all that kind of stuff. You know, you go out. We spent a lot of our time outside the city because we were staying with Emily once again. And she lives near Little Italy. And Little Italy has amazing food. So, like, instead of hanging around the gas lamp area, we went, you know, a little bit offsite, a little bit further to have ramen and fried chicken. This chicken place, it's called the Crack Shack. It's fucking nuts. It's great. So we didn't have any like big celebrity sightings, or like we didn't party with any big celebrities, but we did. I did have a Comic-Con moment. There's always a Comic-Con moment. It's either an interaction with, you know, one of your favorite artists or favorite creators. In this case, the table next to us fucked off and left 2 hours early on Sunday, which is against the convention policies. And if you do that, the convention retains the rights to reacquire your table.
Wow.
And I hope they fucking do that and sell it to us next year, because this is the second year in a row they fucking done. Actually, this is the third or fourth year in the row they've fucking done this. They've always fucked off early. 2 hours, the last day of the show. It's crazy. Anyway, I got pissed and I grabbed a bunch of Sharpies. And I started drawing on their tablecloth, because of course I did.
Yeah, of course you did.
And this little kid came by and he was staring at it. And I was like, hey, you want to draw? And I just handed him the Sharpies, and he started doing his little thing. And I turned to the father and I was like, well, you know what you got to do now. And the father was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back and set him up with some art supplies and we're going to get this going.
Good. Fuck yes.
And I had a really good conversation with the father. Turns out he's from PG County.
I love that you fly all the way across the country to then talk to somebody in your own backyard.
Yeah. And, you know, the first question he asked me was like, do you work with kids often? And I was like, not really. I mean, we're doing a session next week at the Apple store about using comics to tell your own story and all that kind of stuff. And I explained to him that, like, even though, you know, with all the Marvel Phase 4 announcements, how diverse it is and all that kind of stuff and how amazing right. it is, it's a little too late. And so a lot of creators outside Marvel and DC are using comics to tell their own stories. And that's kind of what the whole Draw Right Now thing is all about.
Right.
I gave his kid a set of the notebooks so that, you know, the little pocket notebooks so that he could just sketch on his own time and all that kind of stuff.
That's so cool.
And the father was like, this is the best part of Comic-Con for me is to, you know, my son drawing on this thing and, you know, just having a time and talking with you. And I was like, that's amazing. But also that's a lot of pressure because I'm just a dude trying to make money.
Yeah, I get that. But at the same time, that's the key of you. I mean, that's every interaction we've had in our fight with kids. Like we used to do that all the time. We do like the kids shows or we'd go to do a con or something like that. And speaking of that,
Hazel, you got to go to sleep.
Aww.
You poked your eye. All right, we'll go.
So for those of you listening in the audio format, Jamie's daughter Hazel just walked up, is being super cute.
Okay, go ask mommy. Okay.
I thought she was in bed already, man.
Me too.
Okay, gotcha. Right on.
But yeah, so it was a great interaction. And apparently, there's a convention. There's a kids' con in Philly, and all like Gina's going to it. Gina, Phil's girlfriend, Gina's going to it. And
yeah,
she wanted,
yeah. What is the name of her business again? Do you remember?
Soft sock stuff. I'm a terrible friend.
That's okay. We can figure that out. We'll put it in the show notes. But yeah. Basically, she does plush versions of cosplay stuff and other nerdy things. Like you can get Tetris blocks or like you know, Master Swords or all sorts of really cool stuff. And it's all very kid friendly and it's super rad. Hazel has some of that stuff.
Oh yeah.
And she also does like oven mitts that are like the Infinity Gauntlet and a bunch of super cool stuff. She's absolutely great.
Yeah. So she wanted to know if we wanted to do this kids con with her. And Phil and I were like, I don't know. Like, it would be kind of cool, but I don't know that I don't know how we pitch it.
Right.
Standing with this kid, we were like, we have to do this kids con. Like, we have to do a session. So keep your October open. I'll let you know when it is and
okay.
you know, the three
right
of us will
yeah,
go
yeah.
up.
Okay.
But like, I figure what we would do is just do like, you know, teach kids how to use comics to tell their own stories. We teach them how to make a little mini, you know, with a single sheet of paper, fold it and staple it and all that kind of stuff. And they can
make yourself a little zine sort of thing.
Yeah. Little zines.
Awesome.
And then as a upsell, we say, we also sell these handy dandy, you know, packs to kind of, you know, But that interaction made me feel really great about like just what we're trying to do with the whole Draw Right Now stuff, the you know, shaving off the harder edges of fucking do it. And
I think that's kind of the point of Draw Right Now also is to shave a bit of the edges off of fucking do it. Like the principle is really solid. I get the idea. It's not designed for kids. Yeah. Like we come in real hot with a lot of stuff, but I think the principle is really good. And I think the message is good. And that's kind of the point of all of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I get that.
So I think we have a market for this. I think the pocket notebooks sold much better than our shirts did, which I'm a little disappointed in, but
okay.
I still need to get numbers from Phil. Phil does this really interesting thing where he keeps track of what he sells, but he doesn't do the tallies at the end of the day because it's like a superstition. He figures if he can do the tallies and he knows what he's selling, then he's not selling enough. So he'd rather be in the position where
he's selling just, too just much. Just do it at the end and then...
Yeah, just do it at the end and then, you know, let it sort itself out, which I think is pretty good. And
it's probably a much healthier outlook on everything. So this way you're not stressing out and having the anxiety of like, didn't do as well as I had hoped this day. Like that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So like tabling with Phil is it's very relaxing, but it's still pretty exhausting because he stands
dude's
the
business.
Entire time. And
yeah, dude's business.
Oof. Next year I'm getting a stool, some kind of stool because
okay.
I did the standing thing for the entire time. And preview night is only 3 hours. It's from like 6 to 9. My feet were dead then. So like the rest of the time, it was like hell. Dancing around helped a little bit because you're moving a little.
Yeah, I get that.
But I need a stool.
we can work that out and figure out some options for whatever it is. That works.
All right.
So you had an awesome time.
Yes.
Are we getting into a topic or are we talking about con stuff today?
Oh, we have a topic.
Oh, shit. Okay, right on.
We have a topic, Brandon Chalmers. And I'm not going to name this group by name, but I'm going to spend a long time shitting on our table neighbors.
Okay.
Which in convention, unwritten rules, you are never supposed to shit on your table neighbors in public. It's not polite.
Okay. All right. I can get behind this, given that you're not supposed to publicly put other small businesses on blast.
Yeah.
You only punch up. You don't punch down.
You don't punch down. You punch up. Like, you know, you shit on Marvel all you want.
That.
You shit on Image all you want.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You can yell at the con itself, but don't yell at an individual table mate because it feels like it's punching down. Now, are we going – okay, my first question is, have I seen these people before?
I don't think so, because in our travels, I've only seen them at this convention.
Okay, so let's assume then that I have not seen them. Let's assume then that most people haven't seen them. So let's not play the we all know who this is game.
Yeah.
Because I know people are going to start doing that math.
Yeah.
So unless you've been to San Diego, you're probably not going to end up playing this game.
Yeah.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So – as we're continuing on, know that I will not try and play the guessing game as much as I normally would want to.
And I'll tell you right now, it's not Lar and it's not Somar. It's not Least I Could Do. It's not that crew.
Figured as much. I didn't know you guys were close to them. That's cool.
We're two tables down from them.
All the Blind Ferret crew, those guys are rad. Yeah, Somar, I've had great interaction with. I fucking love Lar.
Yeah.
So
Lar is a teddy bear. They are doing whatever they're doing. They're doing it right. They've been doing Comic-Con forever. They have a huge display.
I know they have.
So we're not shitting on them.
Yeah. I got nothing but love for them from art fight stuff and from personal interaction with them and just, So, okay, I appreciate you getting that right out of the gate. That's why I was asking, do I know them?
Yeah.
Because if it was you kind of know them, you're not going to say what you're going to say. That would be an understanding thing. But I know you wouldn't necessarily tackle that if that was the case.
Because
if I'm not mistaken, Lar listens. So that's its own thing. Hey, buddy. Anyway.
But yes, you don't know them.
Okay.
But all right. So.
Go on.
This group, last year, they didn't bother showing up on preview night. They didn't bother showing up on Sunday, which is the end of the show. And that in and of itself infuriates me, because this is San Diego Comic-Con. It might not sound like a big deal to people outside of the comic industry, but if you're inside the industry, this is kind of a big deal. Like, people work their entire lives to get their work out there. Comic-Con is one of the best places to go. In fact, I got a card from a girl. It's called I Just Want a Comic-Con Booth.com. That's her business card.
Set a goal. Set a goal. That's the important thing. Set a goal.
So people are, kicking themselves to get these tables.
I got you.
They didn't bother showing up on preview night last year. They left early Sunday. They didn't bother setting up at all. So last year on Sunday, we took over that booth and did a trade up thing where you trade us a thing, we'll trade you a thing, we'll trade you a thing. We ended up with a movie standee, I think.
Okay, cool.
This year, because we complained, because of course we complained, because I want that fucking table.
You won't get it. You know somebody else is going to get that.
Yeah.
But the important thing is to have a table mate who's actually there, because you got to want it.
Yes. Oh, yes. So this year, they actually set up on preview night. They set their booth up. They set the big banner. They had their posters out for people. They showed up when the show opened, because it says, if you do not set up within an hour of show opening, Comic-Con reserves the right to reacquire your fucking table.
Is anyone actually walking around reacquiring tables, or is that just kind of a looming threat that they just kind of give out so this way you're not a dick?
Well, I don't know, but Crunchyroll, or not Crunchyroll, Rooster Teeth never showed up at their booth. Like, straight up never showed up. And so...
Wow, that seems weird, because they're fucking big.
And they had a panel that weekend, and they were at that panel. So something must have happened.
So they just didn't bother with the table. Okay, all right.
But I think they weren't there preview night. They weren't there Thursday. By Friday, Crunchyroll had put up their large banners there because I guess the convention was like, we need to put something there. Hey, Crunchyroll, do you have anything extra? So we'll see if Rooster Teeth is there next year. But that shit was weird. Anyway, they set up their table and they were there for maybe like 2 hours max. Preview night.
Wow. Okay.
Which is okay because preview night is only 3 hours, but still, like, you know, and it was the thing where like they were on their phone the entire time. The two people were on their phone. And I was like, okay, I guess they must not give a shit.
Right.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the two managers would show up, set up the booth, set up the stupid TV, and then fuck off the rest of the time. And they had two crews of booth babes. They hired booth babes, and they were handing out flyers, and they were running a promotion where they were giving away an Oculus something.
Oh, so, okay, like an Oculus Rift sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's the one where you can wear it without having to have an external computer. So it's like an all-in-one Oculus.
That's right. Okay, right on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So something serious.
Yeah. So the booth babes were there, and they were promoting their comic called – I don't remember what the comic was called.
Defeating the booth babes. Go on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they were nice. They were nice. They're fun to hang out with because, you know, they weren't uptight about it.
Keep talking. I'm getting my laptop charger. I can hear you.
Okay. But, you know, all the stuff they were handing out just had this big Oculus thing like, win an Oculus, win an Oculus, win an Oculus. Sign up for our mailing list and win an Oculus. And I was like, okay, I guess they're here to promote Oculus or whatever. They also hired for those 3 days a caricature artist, one of Lars' friends. So, you know, she was doing caricatures of people for free, and she had this great setup where, like, she was doing it digitally, and she had a screen set up so people could see her drawing it. And then if you paid like $20, you get a printout of it. And and she put it in a sleeve. And
she could email you.
Well, yeah, she emails it to you as well. But for the printout, it's like this little 4x5 or 4x6 print. It puts it in a sleeve, and then there's a tape on clip so that you can wear your caricature on your badge.
Oh, that's super fucking clever.
Yeah, so it's like an advertisement for the artist.
That's rad. Okay, that very clever.
I mean, that's a great idea.
No, that is a great idea. Good for them figuring out the fucking – that's rad.
So on Friday, we finally figured out what the fuck they were doing there. They have a Kickstarter, Brandon. They have a Kickstarter. They're trying to kickstart a collection of their first book. If you got their poster or if you got their postcard, there's no information about the Kickstarter.
Wait, hang on. The company that hired the caricature artist that does printouts, as well as giving away an Oculus whatever, is doing a Kickstarter.
Yes.
And has a Comic-Con booth.
Yes.
Okay. So the Kickstarter is just for pre-sales. Well, obviously they got money. Money thing isn't the problem. And here's the thing. I understand the idea of turning Kickstarter into a pre-sale machine. for something that you have the ability to pay for. Like,
sure.
I may not necessarily be in love with that idea, but on the plus side, at least with an investor like that, you know that your thing's going to get made. And I will take a positive note on, like, if we're going to do the positive versus negative sort of thing on that Kickstarter,
yes,
I'd rather have somebody who's like, yes, I can pay for this. I want to see what the market share interest is. I want to see whether or not this is actually an interesting thing for whatever it is. And at least with Kickstarter, if they don't make the thing, you get refunded. So there's something to be said about that.
I agree with everything you just said.
Okay.
However.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have taken until Friday for us to figure out that they were running a Kickstarter. It should have been up and front on every piece of literature that they handed out.
That is very true.
It should have been like, here's your Oculus side of your advert, and then the other side, now funding on Kickstarter, and then blah, 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 blah. Right, right.
That makes total sense.
Like QR code or like URL, a tiny URL to put that in your fucking phone and, and commit right away, like buy into it right away. They launched this thing at Comic-Con. You wouldn't have known that because the booth babes were there to get people to sign up for this fucking Oculus thing, not for the Kickstarter.
Well, they probably assume once you're there, then the other thing. Yeah, I
but they
okay.
They weren't talking up the Kickstarter. They weren't talking up the Kickstarter.
Where is the thing that we're actually discussing for the podcast?
We are trying to figure out why the fuck they wasted all that money, because they are not doing very well on their Kickstarter at all.
Okay. Now, hang on a second. We have an issue here because now I have a morbid curiosity of what the Kickstarter is.
Okay.
And by doing that, we are then putting the people on blast. And now we have a moral dilemma. So with that said, you see where my issue is. Okay. I'm not going to ask where the Kickstarter is. I'm not going to check the Kickstarter. I assume you have the Kickstarter up on your computer.
I do.
Or you have it up on your phone. Okay. This is what I know about Jamie. Okay.
Because I'm a terrible person.
I'm going to ask some leading questions here just so that we get a base idea of where we're at. So you said it launched at Comic-Con. So
it launched at Comic-Con. But they did everything possible not to talk about their Kickstarter.
Okay. Stop. Hang on. I need to establish some ground rules here.
Okay.
So it launched Wednesday?
Launched Wednesday during preview night.
Wednesday. Okay. So we are now 9-10 days into this thing?
Yeah.
10 of 30?
10 of 45. They're going for 45.
10 of 45. Okay. All right. So we are 10 of 45. What is the goal?
You want a number?
Money. Just money. Yeah. Just a number.
20,000.
20,000 for a comic book run?
It's for a hardcover. And they did a breakdown of the costs. They say most of the cost is going to be in printing and shipping.
Okay. All right. So but they're being transparent about it. So they're on the, let's assume that they're on the up and up about that. Okay.
No, I have no doubt. I have no doubt that they're on the up and up with like the number. Okay. Like the numbers worked out. That's fine.
Good. Okay. Just making sure I'm understanding. All right. So we're talking, we are 10 days in. We are looking to get 20 G's.
Yes.
So 10 of 45.
Yes.
Where are we at on those numbers?
Well, Brandon Chalmers, we are at $506.
Oh,
and
wow.
And
God. Okay. Hang on. Okay. So the last time Art Fight did a Kickstarter,
yeah,
we raised $3,000.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So not even a quarter of what they were looking for. And we were well over that number 10 days in.
Yeah.
We're fucking small potatoes.
And that's the thing that...
Smallest of potatoes. Fingerling potatoes is what we were.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The weeest of potatoes.
Yeah. We could not have afforded a Comic-Con booth.
No.
At all. Plus...
How bad is this webcomic?
The comic... See, that's the other thing. The comic is fine. The banner is fine.
But it's not. But it's not.
No one knows about it. And they're doing a piss poor job of promoting it.
Website. Is it on their website?
It is not on their website.
So
the art is great.
Like, okay.
I wouldn't buy a hardcover. I would buy a soft cover, but the art, it's not the art.
So let's assume it's not the comic. Yeah. Let's assume that there's an audience there that doesn't somehow know about their Kickstarter. That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Okay. But they've got money to throw. Okay. So let's assume that Oculus thing is just something that one of them has. One of them works for Oculus, got a promotional one for free, is giving it away. Let's assume that Oculus thing is just a cost and just move on.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's assume the caricature artist is actually one of the people involved.
She is not.
As terrible as it's...
She is not. She was getting paid caricature artist rate. That's $200 per hour. She was there for 9 hours, plus lodging, plus travel, plus exhibitor badge. Exhibitor badge alone is five bills.
So we're talking $1,000 for a badge.
No, it's 500. 500 for the...
500. Okay, sorry. So let's do some math here for a second. All right. So we're talking $200 times 9 hours. So that's $1,800 plus 500.
Correct.
We're at 2,300 plus lodging. Let's assume that the hotel and yada yada, they booked it well in advance. Let's say 150. But is this just one day?
She was there for 3 days.
3 days. Okay. So she only worked 9 hours over 3 days.
Yeah, she did 3 hours per day.
Okay, so let's assume that's another $700 in lodging.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's $3,000.
Uh-huh. Just for her.
Okay. And Comic-Con, then Booth Babes?
Comic-Con booth space is 36.
Plus 3,600. So we're at 66.
Yes.
Plus Booth Babes. Let's assume they were hanging out for how long? All day?
Yeah. Well, there were two shifts, so they were doing like half shift. But it's two sets of them. So like,
do you want to say $1,000 for the two of them?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to devalue anybody. I'm just trying to think of a nice round number to be able to put on that.
Yeah, 1,000, 1,500 or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, let's cut the distance. Let's say 1,250.
Yeah.
So we're at 7,820. Before we make anything of the 20 G's, methinks, some of that 20 G's may have gotten lumped into that 7 whatever it is. Now, this goes back to my other thought process, which is we may be in one of those scenarios where somebody is just doing pre-orders and somebody's got fuck you money. Because the idea of there being investors in this field of like, I love your webcomic, it's super good. Oh, cool, thanks, I really appreciate it. Hey, if you ever want to do a Kickstarter, I got kind of fuck you money. I drive a Ferrari, so fuck it. Like, you should come out, do the thing. And they're like, cool, we're not necessarily looking for business partners. And then you're like, well, I tell you what, why don't you do a Kickstarter, we'll do pre-sales, and worst case, I'll help you back whatever it is. I'll help you with your booth space, yada, yada, yada. Maybe you take me in as a soft percentage sales. Okay, cool. So this dude's like, cool, cover this, cool, cover this, cool, cover this. Are there any other staff at this thing?
There are two managers there that show up and set up the table, and they kind of give the marching orders to the booth babes. And initially, that's what I thought was going on. I thought that this was an independent artist who got hooked into this promotional company and said, fine, I'll partner with these guys. They said they're going to do this thing at Comic-Con. It sounds great. And I was pissed. I was like, if I was that independent artist, I would have fired these fuckers in a second, because I cannot make my goal on my own and not waste any time dealing with these fuckers. But it turns out one of the managers is one of the artists on this book. So it's a homegrown project. It's a homegrown project from these fuckers.
I'm real confused in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see anybody looming around who wasn't necessarily part of the thing but was like hanging out a bunch?
No.
Okay, no. So the backer wasn't there.
No.
Okay, so the purse wasn't there. So that's an interesting aspect. I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck we're really talking about here. Are we just bitching that this dude has fuck you money and is paying for their ridiculous booth space, and it seems really unfair because they're not actually appreciating the Comic-Con space itself?
We're I'm trying to figure out why I'm so fucking mad. We're trying to fix me.
You're fucking mad because you don't fucking make that kind of money. That's what it is. You want some dumb fuck to back our shit. We need a backer. Like, that's what we need. I need some dude who wears chinos to believe and fucking do it is really what it is. Like, it's what I need. I need somebody who's like, yeah, I love this thing. You guys should go do the thing. Maybe we'll make some money. Maybe we won't. That's okay.
I think any other Kickstarter we've ever seen, the first thing you do if you're making flyers is you put the Kickstarter logo all over it. Like,
I don't know, man.
That's like, the first thing out of your mouth when people come to your booth. It's like, I am running a Kickstarter. And then you tell your story. Oh, that's
have they done any other Kickstarters?
No, this is their first one. And maybe they
here's the thing.
Maybe they
you're
don't
in
know
a cross section. You're in a cross section of like too much fucking money.
Yeah.
I'm still going with the backer thing. Nobody's paying for that unless somebody else has got the purse strings. So somebody else is just throwing money at this thing to do pre-sales. Let's assume it's a pre-sale game.
Yeah.
And that they can easily make the 20 G's. Okay, cool. So, like, let's take the money completely out of the factor, and let's say that they want to figure out whether or not if they pay for a print run, it's actually going to sell. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And maybe, and God knows, have we seen a ton, Jesus, of this in fucking comics, people who are over-assuming and underperforming.
Sure, sure.
Just this, like, I've got fan base. I've got this. I can totally do that. No, you cannot. No, you cannot. You do not have the backing for this. You do not have the ability. You just don't.
No.
And sometimes you spend years making a video game for Otakon, and sometimes you don't. So this, I know. I couldn't help myself. Anyway.
Shit. God. It's not him, by the way, but man, like Jesus.
To throw shade in my direction, it's brandon.chalmers@gmail.com. Just throwing that out there. The thoughts and reasoning are my own. It has no reflection on the fucking Do It Cast, Jimmy Noguchi, or the Hard Knock Media Podcast.
Well, okay.
No. Anyway.
So you're thinking it's a pre-sale thing. And
I think it's a pre-sale
thing. And if that was the case, they did a piss poor job of telling people that this was a...
Yes! How many fucking Kickstarters fail every day because somebody gets their head up their presumptive ass and ends up doing a Kickstarter? How many times have we seen with people that we know that help other people that we know assume that they know a lot about Kickstarters and they manage to do their own because it's a lot of pun-based bullshit, and then somehow manage to fuck up somebody else's Kickstarter that they have a dream about and not get the job done.
Yeah.
We have seen this firsthand. Yeah. Fucking up Kickstarter is really not as hard as you'd think.
Yeah.
Like, so these guys having a backer and these guys fucking this up, and I mean fucking this up.
It's real bad. Not
that difficult, though. Like, It's real bad because you've been there. You've done how many successful Kickstarters, not counting Art Fight?
I've done three.
Three? Okay, so you've managed to fund three things and get the job done. Art Fight's managed to do two and get the job done.
Yeah.
So I have been adjacent to five solid Kickstarters, all knowing how to get the job done. And probably more than that, given some of my other friends.
Yeah.
Kelsey Wales, for one, getting the Stompanons made. That makes six.
Yeah.
Like,
Yuko
there's
and
a lot of them.
Yuko and Anoth, they could raise the 20 G's like that.
Well, they also have a much stronger fan base, and that's the other thing too.
That's a lot the big of this, thing. Yeah.
A lot of this, what this also may have been, is somebody's got the purse string, somebody really believes in this, but somebody thinks that they know what they're doing, and somebody needs a reality check.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I would go all the way out to Comic-Con and work a booth all weekend and not bother to really make a whole lot of money. But if I was looking to get a free trip to San Diego and do the thing and also prove a point that this person doesn't know their ass from a hole in the ground, I don't have that kind of patience because that's me.
Yeah.
lot of other people would, and a lot of other people would very much go, yeah, we got 45 days to turn this fucking thing around. Let's spend the first six just kind of fucking around and having a good time.
Yeah. The thing is, if they were just trying to test the waters and see if there's interest in this book, this is the wrong way to do it, because they have only 16 backers right now. And that is not enough to do a print run of anything but a shitty small zine, like that you run off copy paper, you know, at your work after hours, so you can do it for free. Like, and they spent the entire time promoting this Oculus thing instead of, we're running a promotion to win this Oculus because we are trying to get attention to our Kickstarter. And we figured they were building up a mailing list of all these people to email them and do an email blast after Comic-Con. So we were kind of expecting to see a bump in the number of people that contributed. They lost people after Comic-Con.
I'm sorry, did you say they lost people after Comic-Con?
Yes, they lost people after
Comic-Con. Hold that shit up. It's time to close the website down. That's what that is. Like, how...
And I want their table space. I want their table space. I want their table space.
Because
they're not giving themselves the chance to succeed. And they've been doing this for a while, and they need to. If they have fuck you money, they should just print out copies and be selling them at the booth. The books at the booth.
Okay. So this hits home for me for a very different reason, but very similar reason. So this reminds me of SPX.
Yeah.
SPX is one of those shows that is very small, it is very elite. I have some very real and documented grievances with how SPX does its tabling system. I think their lottery is a fucking bullshit. I've been on record about it. I've gotten in trouble about it. I've been asked not to talk about it.
Oh, really?
I'm not holding the Super Art Fight anymore. Yeah. It rubs a lot of people the wrong way. When I was still part of Art Fight and I made those grievances very public, there was a lot of concern from a lot of people, which understandably so, that it would end up reflecting poorly upon you or some of the other members of Art Fight, which I completely understand. I get that. But don't call it a lottery if it's not really a lottery. Anyway, that said, there are certain people who I know who got, well, certain people, a certain person who got a table, managed to beat the lottery system, managed to get there, managed to phone it in with the bare minimum possible, not a staple zine or anything else like that, like a bunch of FedEx Kinko's fucking prints of some very disappointing fan art.
Oh, no.
And set up a table and then spent half of that con wandering around looking at other people's stuff.
Oh, no.
And didn't actually get their table.
Oh, no.
Could have very easily have sold half the table space to somebody else and given somebody else an opportunity.
I hate Could that. Have. I hate that. Like, I hate that because, like, Small Press Expo, people work their ass off to get there. And they do this weird split lottery. So they're like a portion of their tables are grandfathered. A portion are lottery. And if you get in the lottery, that could be a great sales day for you. You could make a shit ton of money that day.
It's not even just the money itself. It's the prestige and what that means for you as an up-and-coming artist.
Yeah, that's a career builder.
The opportunity to be able to say that I did SPX, whether you actually knock it out of the park or not, whether you're ready for it, whether you have the finances for it, whether you have the books done, whatever you have done, if you get to say that you get to be at a show next to Noel Stevenson, or next to Danielle Corsetto, or next to insert other random webcomic artists, random other indie artists, or whomever. Yeah. There's so many fucking incredibly talented and capable and driven motherfuckers in that room.
Yeah.
When you get in and then you phone it in, you lose my respect, and this is where the problem comes
at. That pisses me off too.
I can't teach hustle, and these people seem to have a lack of it.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am. But the fact that you're losing, like you can't seem to get out of your own way is a problem. And I think this is the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think I figured out where our focus needs to be on this. I think this is adjacent to what we were talking about the last time we met. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about fucking Do It and Draw Right Now, and basically like a very collaborative sort of community. I understand that my tone right now sounds very combative because it's how I feel about this topic. And I apologize if it rubs anybody the wrong way. Please understand this is coming from a place of love because I don't want any of you to fail. And this is where my problem comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
It is an incredibly important skill to recognize when you are in over your head. Not all of us are great about it. It's very easy to kind of do this because like it seems like there's no real middle ground here.
Yeah.
There are people who are overly confident who are like, I fucking got this. I'm good. I can handle all this. I'm going to go to the con. I'm going to prep. I'm going to print out all the things. I got my cash box ready. I got my stool. I got my like comfy pad to stand on. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be doing the show all day. And you got a motor. And whether or not you sell, nobody can take that motor from you.
Yeah.
Like it is one of the things in Art Fight that I have talked about over and over again before I left is you cannot teach effort. Effort is something you can it's fucking lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
You cannot teach it. You can hone it. You can shave off the edges a little bit. You can try and figure out what direction it needs to be in. But like that is the thing that you cannot teach. If somebody's got effort, you can figure out how to make them some part of the team.
Sure. Sometimes.
Sometimes. Some people are more difficult than others. I get
most,
that.
Most of the time.
Most of the time. Yes. But the other side of that is if you're incredibly talented and you have a comic and you can put out a product and you can do a really good job and you just don't understand how to get your shit to market, there's the problem.
Yeah.
Because not everybody can get their shit to market.
That's true. That's true.
This is where Draw Right Now could end up coming really in handy. I know it feels like a marketing ploy, but this is where my side of it comes in.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily a creative type by nature.
Yeah.
I'm a very much get the thing done type. I'm very goal oriented. I'm very driven in that way. I'm very focused in that way. I'm more of a project manager than I am a creator. You need to recognize when you don't have the skills, right? This is everything that is in your life. Jamie, do you know how to repair your exhaust system on your car?
I do not.
Okay. Do you know how to – water's pouring out of your bathroom. Do you know what to do other than turn it off?
I know how to turn it off. I can't fix it.
Okay. Do you know how to handle all of your own taxes for everything down to the line items, yada, 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 yada? Or do you hire an accountant?
I hire an accountant.
Why the fuck would you go to Comic-Con without hiring somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing? This is it. So this is the thing that I want to kind of parlay this into. Know when you're in over your head. If you're an artist or you're a creative type or you're a designer or a web developer or anything else like that, you have skills. This is something you and I talked about, and this is an uncomfortable thing that I think a lot of people have trouble kind of grasping their head around. And I'm going to tiptoe around the terminology and the verbiage of this, but understand why I'm making the strong delineation. People say a lot of times when they see art, oh my God, you're so talented.
Right.
Yes. However, the talent isn't the most impressive part. The talent gets you to the table. The talent is that natural drive or capability to walk up with a pencil or a crayon as a kid or whatever it is and be able to make the circle and make the smiley face and understand shapes and possibly have an easier time in understanding shadows and perspective and lights and yada, 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 yada. It all goes with drawing and art. But
also practice skills, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of practice.
The skills is the big thing.
Yeah.
I would much rather have somebody say, you are such a skilled and amazing artist, as opposed to you are so talented. Talented feels like one of those things where the athlete of the year goes to the ESPN awards, yeah, and walks out and goes, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ, as if somehow you were chosen for this shit and yeah, you didn't spend holy fuck, how many hours in the gym doing fucking box jumps and running drills,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
over and over and over again and hitting the sleds and doing the thing. Like, you put in the work.
Yeah.
It's important to understand and respect the fact that you got a leg up. I get that. The idea that like anybody can be an artist, anybody can be an athlete, anybody. No. What you can do is hone those skills that you were given into a fucking spear and then stab the fucking life out of whatever it is you want to go after.
Yeah.
This is where my concern happens. This is a prime example of somebody who had skill as far as art.
Sure.
Capability as far as having the wherewithal and understanding what they needed to do to get the Kickstarter off the ground and launch the book. A brand awareness of being able to create a thing and actually follow through with it. The storybook writing and whatever it is that made you say, yeah, you know what? I may not buy the hardcover, but the softcover I'd totally pull the trigger on. Okay, so yeah. They've got product good enough that somebody who is a seasoned artist is at least curious about to drop 15, let's say 20, probably not 25, but maybe 20 bucks.
Maybe 20, yeah.
You walk by, you'd go, I kind of like that. That's real cool. Give me the elevator pitch. And if they gave you something that is relatively coherent, you're going to grab it. You'll flip through it at the con. You'll read it on the flight on the way home. You go, yeah, that's pretty cool. You give them a follow on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is. And then you go, they're cool. I want to see what else they make. Good for them. A little bit of love and support. Next time they do a Kickstarter, you'd be like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Good for you guys. Appreciate that.
Sure, sure.
That sort of thing matters. That's brand development. That's honing an audience. That sort of thing is like growing with them. And a lot of people feel very attached to artists, whether it's music or physical art. That when they get to see them on the rise, they feel beholden and attached to them. People who know you from way back doing whatever the – what was the thing that you did before? I'm blanking on the name of one that you did with
Earthworld?
Earthworld, thank you.
Yeah, Earthworld.
People who know you from Earthworld or back when you were colorist for Udon?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Like people buy into story. Like a Kickstarter is an emotional purchase. It's not about right. Like, you know, you have a connection with the creators. You're into the artists, and that's the other thing that's missing from their Kickstarter. The Kickstarter is all about like this is the story of the blah 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 blah. There's nothing about the creators. There's nothing about the people who created this. There's no backstory. There's no like, you know, this story came from my relationship with so and so, and I wanted to honor them in this book, or like, you know, I had a traumatic great experience with this thing and I wanted to write a version of that in the story, and that's why I put this out there. Or like, you know, it's always been my dream to have my own comic, and you okay. know, I put like okay. there's no story that I can get attached to, so all there is the pitch for this fucking comic, and like
okay.
I can't get into it because I don't okay. know these people, and they were there they weren't there the entire weekend. Their booth babes yeah. were there the entire weekend. I know more about okay. their booth babes than I do about the people running the fucking thing.
Okay. So this is where I'm at a catch 22, because I was just about to ask you, would you feel comfortable enough telling them that, hey, you're probably going to be mad at us for the first, what are we at now? I don't even know what the timer is on this hour of this. But maybe jump in or whatever it is after that and hear a bit of a heartfelt message. But it sounds like you're having a little trouble with that too, because at the same time, you're having trouble with the booth babe thing and whatever it is. And maybe this is just going to be more of a cautionary tale of anybody else who we know
yeah,
who
maybe.
Wants to do a Kickstarter. Start one. And this is my experience, and please understand, this is me, Brandon Chalmers, speaking as me in my previous experience of being involved with Kickstarters, whether adjacent or actively part of via Super Art Fight or anything else.
Yeah.
And my experience of purchasing things from Kickstarter. There's a couple of things that you can that a Kickstarter can do. One, the video can absolutely do what Jamie talked about. And I do understand there is an inverse, because there are some things that are just – and this is the difference, I think, between art and a product.
Yeah.
A product – has the ability to grab you based on just the thing.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is how it works. This is what it does. This is why you need it.
I've talked about this previously on other podcasts, that glass flask that I end up picking up. It's a really good product. It's practical. It looks great. It makes a lot of sense. It was a fair deal.
These fucking things.
Peak design. Right, yeah. Like, these things make sense. They're products that don't necessarily require a lot of passion. And it's important to know what you actually have. But if you are, and in most cases, given if you're watching this or you're part of, you know, watching us or Draw Right Now or what have you, you're probably doing a passion project via your art, writing a story,
yeah.
you're doing prints, you're doing yeah. whatever it is,
yeah.
there's a better than average chance you're going to end up doing art.
Yeah.
Art is a very passionate sort of thing. It's very driven in that sense. It requires a lot of love.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a very love-based project, you probably should tell the backstory like Jamie talked about. You're not wrong about this. The reason I say it that way is I want to acknowledge that both sides are potentially right depending on what you're doing.
Sure.
If you are just strictly creating, if you're selling the fucking Flex Seal guy, that weird Italian dude who sells the tape that fucking sticks to anything underwater, whatever it is, that dude doesn't need a backstory.
No.
He doesn't need to tell you
no.
that, like, my grandfather was an inventor who got thrown physically out of the patent office in 19 whatever.
You don't care.
We don't need the backstory of whatever the fuck it is that got him to develop that weird super tape.
Yeah.
I don't need to know. Unless it's really interesting when we come to find out he's actually like a super scientist, he's just fucking weird. That's an interesting story. That's true. A whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that, yeah.
But if you are telling a story of something that matters to you, or you are, you know, you're developing, hey, you know, my growing up, I watched my sister deal with all of this yada yada because she was coming of age and she was having trouble finding a fit. And I watched her go through all this pain and yada yada yada. And I'm so proud of her for being on the other side. And she was the inspiration for my webcomic that I did. And yeah. she knew it, but we never really talked about it until then. But I really want to bring it to life. And I want to do this, and if we end up getting the backer thing, I want to spend the money to go send her to Comic-Cons to be able to explain her story along with yada yada. Like,
yeah,
whatever the fuck she's in. Like, there's a bit of passion behind an art project.
I'm buying into that. I don't care if it's right. stick figures right. drawn by their puppy. Fuck it. I'm into that. I'm there.
Right. You're into that. And this is a completely hypothetical, by the way. That's not me, like, ghostwriting somebody else's story who I actually know. But, like, I've seen these sort of things where people are like, I got inspired by so-and-so, and I decided to do the thing, and I wanted to build this thing, and I want to make the thing a reality. I can do this and this and this. And if you're at that point where you're doing that, but also you're still doing the, like, the pre-sale thing, where you're like, okay, I'm ready to spend $3,000 on doing a print run. It's all going to be soft cover. It's going to be yada, 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 yada. Like, you can do all of those things and you can go out of pocket for it.
Sure.
It's important to know what you can go out of pocket for when you're doing pre-sales and what you're really lofty for. A hardcover right out of the gate for your first Kickstarter is fucking lofty. Somebody should have talked them down right out of the gate. There's your first number. The $20,000 number for your first one is ambitious. And maybe not necessarily in a great way. Okay. So that being said, Jesus, like, could we get a handle on this sort of thing? And can somebody talk them you know what this really is? I think we can almost wrap this up with this one. Get a no guy. Get a no guy. You need somebody in your life. And this is going to sound counterproductive. I promise you. This is a difficult thing. Everybody has a friend who's like, that's a fucking stupid idea.
Uh-huh.
That guy or girl, most likely, it's probably a dude, probably a white guy, probably has a beard, is going to shit on whatever the thing is. Knows my time.
Yeah.
That is going to shit on whatever it is you're talking about.
Sure.
Is he partially wrong? Yes.
Oh, of course.
He's probably an asshole.
Yes.
He's probably being super judgmental.
Yes.
He may not actually know his ass from the hole in the ground.
No.
But.
Yes.
He is going to be, especially if you're selling at a comic convention, your prime audience. So you have to ask yourself the question, how do I market to that guy as well?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to try and figure out what it is that is lacking in your game. If you are literally hard selling to a very niche audience and you don't fucking need that guy, stand tall in that. Still ask him the questions of why you wouldn't buy it.
Yeah.
It's important to understand why you're making a decision, even if you're not making it. Know all sides. Know all perspectives. I think that's got to be part of what we're talking about doing when we're talking about doing the Discord server.
Yeah.
Is – and this may be my specialty, hopping on there, is the no guy.
The no guy.
The no guy. Like, it'll be my own little corner and just you'll throw ideas at me, and I'll try and hone them in. If anybody knows me personally, I'm actually not much of a no guy. I'm actually a very, like, I'm a super cheerleader. I want you to make the thing.
I'm more of
the no guy.
I'm the no guy.
I've seen enough shit to know what's going to fail and what isn't. So if you hear me go, so have you thought about yada, yada, yada? That's me kind of telling you no, but still trying to be loving and supportive.
Yeah.
You need a bit of that in your world. These people needed to say, okay, if I've got X number of thousands to go and do this, what am I really doing?
Sure.
If you're set a more reasonable goal, figure out what it is. Don't let somebody else talk you into whatever. Meet the bare minimum.
Yeah.
What do you need to do? I need to create my comic, put it into a physical form, have it as part of a book, and be able to sell it at cons because I want to continue to do this thing professionally.
Yeah, man. Like the money that they spent the money on the wrong thing. Don't do the booth babe. Don't do the caricature artist. Don't do the Oculus thing. Don't bring your fucking 30-second trailer. If your goal is to get a print comic, do a small run of like a thousand. A thousand in your back door or your back garage, or there's a local printer near you. There is a local printer near you. There's always a local printer near you.
Even if you don't want to go for local printer, that's the other part of it too. Are you doing the research to make sure you get the best price on these things? Are you crowdsourcing other people in the field? Are you asking other creators, hey, you're in the local Toledo, Ohio, San Diego, Washington State area. Where did you get your thing printed up? Oh, there's a dude who does this. He's a small press this. He's a yada, 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 yada. You don't need to go through the large print distributors. If you do and you get a good deal, cool. In most cases, you're probably just being lazy because you don't want to spend the time, the hustle into it. I'm sorry, but this is this is project management 101.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't just rush something because you want to rush something.
There's always a local guy, especially with print stuff. There's a local guy who can do it, and if you establish a relationship, they can cut you a deal. Like, and that's the other thing. These people are based in big cities where there are printers aplenty. So it's
that's got to be the thing. So let's focus on this then.
Okay.
Get yourself a no guy.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to get market information from people who aren't necessarily your audience. Know what you really need versus what you want. Figure out what you're willing to cave on. Write that list down. Here's the hill I'm willing to die on. Cool. Whatever that is, I don't care what that is. If it keeps you from doing the thing, you might want to reevaluate it. But if it's the hill that you have to die on, it's the hill you have to die on. Everybody's going to have a different one. Don't overthink it too much. It just is what it is. If you're in a partnership, don't fuck somebody else over.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to acknowledge when you're not ready.
And appreciate their time.
Time is not free. God. Your time is not free. God. Their time is not free. This is something that Jamie is going to be annoyed about way more than I will. Your time is not free. God. If you are a freelance artist, especially, you get billed by the hour. You are blindingly aware of your time.
Yeah.
This is the difference in between Jamie and I. Jamie gets paid by the hour potentially or by the contract agreement, and he's very aware of his hours. I'm a salaried employee. I'm a project manager. I'm a warehouse manager. My time doesn't fucking matter to me. I don't pay attention to it as much as I should. Yeah. I should.
Yeah.
But I don't look at it that way. I look at a project and a goal and pick a date and go, cool, how many ways can I burn this candle? Awesome. Let's cut it 6 times and put all the wicks on that thing and light that bitch ablaze from orbit.
Yeah.
And just spend all the time to do that.
Yeah.
It's not the healthiest way to do it, but that's how I solve the problems.
Yeah.
This is the whole thing. You need everybody in there. I need somebody like Jamie to go, hey, your time is worth something. He needs somebody like me who goes, yeah, I get that, but here's the goal that we need to work on, so let's figure out the smartest way to actually make our time more effective. Like, there's a real catch-22. You cannot do all of this yourself. If it is you and a friend, I can tell you right now, you do not have the skills to get this done on your own.
Yeah.
You don't. Don't be afraid of that. You're not a fucking mechanic. You're not a plumber. You're not the best graphic designer in the world. Potentially you are all of these things. I doubt it. But you're going to have holes in your game. Don't be afraid to go to a pro or a friend or somebody who is just knowledgeable enough to be dangerous, but Jesus Christ, just go to someone.
Also, like, they're, besides going to a company that's specifically set up to help you fulfill a Kickstarter, there are people at Kickstarter who, like, liaise with comic creators. Like, you can actually talk to somebody at Kickstarter who can
fucking talk to other people at cons.
Yeah.
You told me that they've been to Comic-Con before, which tells me that this is not their first rodeo. They go to other conventions. There are other creators. Fucking step, like, cha-cha, slide your ass, slide to the left, slide to the right. Go talk to somebody, cha-cha real slow, and make yourself a friend. Like, it is, right, it is not that hard. Yeah, take it back now, y'all. Crisscross, hands on your knees. Like, it's not that hard. That's the whole fucking point, is go talk to somebody, broaden your game.
Especially at Comic-Con, everyone's hungry. Everyone wants to succeed.
Okay.
Everyone wants to do that thing.
Let's wrap this up right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're circling the drain at this point. Don't be afraid to ask friends.
Sure.
If you don't have friends in the field, don't be afraid to ask other creators. You see somebody you admire, start talking to them. Just be like, hey, I saw a Kickstarter that I really like. I'd really like to talk to you about it. Hey, have you ever done yada, yada, yada? How's your show going?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Yeah.
Just if – here's the other side of it. And this is going to be something that's uncomfortable, and you're going to have to lie to people, so I'm going to say this real clean into the microphone. If you are having a shitty show and someone else is having a shitty show or a great show, and you ask them, how's your show going? And they go, great. Your response shouldn't be, yeah, mine's kind of shit. It should be, that's awesome. What's selling? What's going really well for you? Yada, 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 yada. That's rad. And then when they ask you, how's it going for you? You can respond with, sales aren't quite what I'm looking for. Not sure where I'm falling a little flat. Was really hoping this was going to sell. This was going to sell. Let them try and give you some advice. Maybe your table layout's shit. Mm-hmm. Maybe your product isn't working. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't fucking – maybe they can't – people walking by can't see your thing because it's way the fuck down on the table and it's laying flat and it's a fucking print and get you need up. To get that fucking thing
– get it up.
Get it up there. Right. Maybe you need to get it up there at eye level.
Yeah.
And you haven't thought about it yet.
Yeah.
Point is that – there's going to be perspective of things that you're going to miss. And if you're too in your own shit to ask the question, be friendly to your table neighbor, not only are you not going to grow as a business, you're not going to grow as a person. Start asking questions.
Yeah. And that's how you build networks, especially at small shows or big shows. Like the whole reason why I'm working on a book with a friend of mine is because I talked to him during this show that we were both at.
Right.
Like I would, you know, talk to him about his work. I talked to him about his stuff. His daughter adopted me.
Right.
But like your table neighbors are your best resource when you're both in this shit together. You know, they're doing things differently than you. You're doing things differently than them. They can learn something from you. You can learn something from them. You know, just talk to your table neighbors. That's your best resource when you go to a big show or a small show or like, I don't know, classroom.
There's a reason why they call it the comic book community.
Yeah.
It's time we did a little more community in comics.
Yeah.
Or in art or in conventions and started communicating with each other. And it wasn't a shitting on fest and it wasn't bitching about everything. I feel bad in a way that like we jumped out of the gate and kind of jumped all over these people. But at the same time, there are some very real concerns that we have here. As creators, because I think we all want to see each other succeed.
Sure. I would have been super happy if they walked out of Comic-Con half funded. That would have been amazing.
That'd have been great, right. Yeah, like I my hope would be you messaged me at the con and were like, hey, don't know if this is really your jam, but these people are sitting next to us and they seem really cool. You might want to check this out. And somebody who I've never heard of, never would end up meeting, don't actually know, I could see this and go, that's pretty cool. You know what? Y'all give me my $20 and I'll back it.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Those sort of things go a long way. And am I a drop in the bucket on that $20,000 price tag? Way too high. Sorry, it is. It fucking is. Nobody needs a hardcover of anything. You are a comic book creator. Stop. This is, you know what this is? This is video games and steelbooks, or DVDs and steelbooks. I don't need a fucking metal DVD case. Give me the thing and the content, and then hooey. Like, just,
yeah.
I don't need this. I don't have this obsessive need over having the fucking Master Chief helmet sitting on my goddamn mantle.
Oh, but it's so pretty.
I don't. No.
So pretty.
No. No, no, goddammit, no. I would like to actually be somewhere near someone of the opposite end or same sex in a sexual manner at some point along the way. And Master Chief does not belong atop my goddamn bookshelf.
I don't know, Brandon. Have you been to PAX?
It doesn't.
Have you been to PAX?
Yes.
Because that might help you.
No. No. Stop living in this bubble. Stop it. I know someone who does this shit who's like, I'm super into the thing and I'm a good dude. And you end up being, you know what this is? This is a breeding ground for incels. I'm getting off on the rant. Anyway, look, the point is don't be this fucking comic nerd. Don't do this.
Yeah.
You have other shit you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, go do the thing.
Yeah.
Out, get somebody else to help you with the thing. If you don't understand the thing, fucking reach out to somebody. If you don't necessarily know somebody, contact your favorite podcast boys and say, hey, do you know somebody? And maybe we are the somebody.
Maybe we and yeah, maybe you, we know if, somebody.
Maybe we know somebody. Maybe you're like, Brandon, you seem real like fired up about whatever it is. This is a thing I'd like to try and do. What do you think? And I spend 10 minutes with you just chit-chatting back and forth. I just shoot you an email with a bunch of notes, and it's a drop in the bucket on my time, and it's a drop in the bucket on your time. And maybe you're like, you get done my email and you're like, this dude doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Maybe it's okay, I don't agree with yada yada and yada yada, but I do really appreciate the fact that he's making the effort on here and here and here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
At least you got somebody else's fucking opinion, and you got out of your own goddamn echo chamber. Get out of your bathroom, stop talking to yourself, go do the thing in a community.
Hell yeah.
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 All right, Jamie Noguchi, where can they find you?
Anywhere. Just type my name and stuff, and I'll show up. But Angry Zen Master on Twitter, Jamie Noguchi on Instagram. Those are mainly the social places I hang out. Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at ThatGuyChalmers. I'm going to try and fire the thing back up. Things have been a little quiet for me. I will probably explain in greater detail over the next couple days because I finally got the last factor of what was going on. So dates are set, sir. Dates are set. Yeah, so you're in the tail end of that. But I plan on spending all day tomorrow kind of doing live updates of what my day is going to be like. I'm going to try and tackle all of the projects tomorrow, so we'll see how that goes. All right. So.
And we're going to set up a Discord probably next week. This week sucked, so I'll figure that shit out.
That's okay. That's all good. Keep an eye out for Jamie and I on our social media, and also Nerds of Color for the Hobbs and Shaw screening. We will have updates starting next week. I'm super excited about that. We will figure all of that out. Yes, we're going to see the thing together, and it's going to be fucking fun, and we're all going to do the thing. I'm super excited. All right, so.
Family.
Jamie Noguchi, let's get the fuck out of here. Kids, have yourselves a wonderful week. We love and miss all of you, and we can't wait to see you. Bye-bye. Come give us a big hug.
Bye-bye. 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 All right.